As your daughter heads to college this fall, she faces a couple of options. She can either be really lonely, or Hannah Seymour says she can start pursuing friendships.
Pursuing people means asking them out to coffee, asking them to lunch. If you work out every week, ask people to go work out with you. If you walk around campus, whatever, the activities that you enjoy doing, grab some other people to go with you and start pursuing people. And know that most people are not good at this. Most people are not going to pursue you. And so to not take it personally.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey. I'm Bob Lapine. There are some key strategies that your daughter can employ as she heads to college this fall that will help her college experience be really good. We'll talk about those strategies today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So we're trying to help moms and dads, particularly if they have daughters who are about to head off to college. And I got to tell you, if I was about to release a daughter to college, I would want to wrap her up in bubble wrap. You know what I'm saying? I would want to send her off cocooned up and protected and make sure that somebody was following her around the whole time, that she didn't get into any trouble.
And, Bob, I'd want those vests that those police officers wear.
The Kevlar?
Bubble wrap. Forget bubble wrap. Put Kevlar around her. Well, we've got a friend here, Hannah Seymour, who's a friend of Laura's, my daughter. And she has written a book called The College Girl Survival Guide. And welcome back, Hannah. Great job on this book, by the way.
Thank you.
You were on Fox and Friends, right?
I was on Fox and Friends.
How did that go?
It was a blast. Fastest 3.5 minutes of my life.
And did they let you talk about your faith?
They did. Yeah. And they kept bringing up, they would say, well, faith is really important to you. This is rooted in biblical principles. They were all over it.
Yeah.
Okay, go back to the start of how you wrote this book, because you work on college campuses and are a professional
yeah,
development.
I forget it was, yeah.
A student development professional.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it right.
Is that what we called counselors back in the day? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, you'd done this both on the college campus, but you were also doing it with high school students.
I was. So I've been working on a college campus for a few years in a full-time role. I started mentoring high school girls. I wanted to try to help prepare high school girls to really understand why they believed what they believed. Can they articulate the gospel? Send them off to college with that foundational knowledge. And I graduated my first crop of girls, and I wanted to find a book that would help prepare them for the issues I knew they would be facing. And of course, there are so many books out there, but I was looking for something specifically practical, easy to read, but biblically based. I didn't want it dripping in Christianese. I had girls that weren't all in yet. So I didn't want to give them a book that would be maybe toxic to them or just too Christian. So I never found what I wanted. And in the back of my mind, I thought, maybe I could write that book someday. Now, fast forward just a little bit. I graduated my first group of high school girls. They're off at college. Each week, I would get 2 to 3 emails from that group of 12. Really basic, common things. Hannah, my roommate and I are not getting along. We haven't spoken in a week. Or, hey, Hannah, you know I've always wanted to be a nurse. I came as a pre-med major. I'm realizing I'm failing my classes in that core major. What am I supposed to do? What do I do with my life? This is what I've thought I wanted this whole time. So I was getting these emails. I had answered these questions a million times in my office on the college campus, but it was the first time I was responding to them in writing. And slowly those email exchanges turned into a blog. And after several years of blogging and answering questions from college girls all over the country, because real quickly it went from my core 12 to girls all over the nation, I realized I think I have that book. I think I can write this book that I've always wanted to give my high school graduates.
And so you wrote a book, and you broke it down into 6 categories. Real quickly, just tick off those 6 categories and explain why you chose each one.
Roommate conflicts is the first category. every college girl has a roommate conflict during their 4 years.
I don't think that needs any explanation.
Every single one. Relational issues. So everything from where are my friends, where's my future husband, or just questions about dating, should I pursue him, that kind of thing. Sex, drugs, and alcohol. How to survive the party scene. Do I want to save sex for marriage? Discussions like that. Academics and career. How do I find direction? How do I find meaning? Where do I want to go post-college? Faith-based. That chapter is called Jesus Take the Wheel. So everything from how do I find a church? Do I even need to find a church and plug in college? To I'm really having doubts about my Christian faith. Or even I'm terrified to evangelize. The Bible says we're supposed to make disciples, and that scares me so much.
And you left out the first one, which is helping your pre-freshman.
That's right.
Anticipate college. What's that all about?
So it was first things first, the top 10 things that every entering college freshman is wondering about, from freshman 15 to summer orientation, registering for classes, that kind of thing.
Freshman 15, just in case anybody doesn't know what that is, you want to explain that?
Gaining 15 pounds or more. I talked to someone the other day, it said, I heard it's now up to 25. The whole thing is a myth. College students are coming on campuses, they're not eating the way mom and dad fed them, they're eating junk, they're eating at 2 a.m., they're not engaged in sports anymore. Of course, they're going to gain some weight, but if they just continue the lifestyle that they had before college, they will not gain weight. And beer calories, which is a huge piece of that whole, quote, freshman 15.
Did you gain the freshman 15?
I did not.
And how did you keep from doing it?
I didn't eat at 2 a.m. I didn't drink. I mean, truly, it was just maintaining. If you maintain the eating, exercising lifestyle you had at 18, and I do talk about in my book, ladies, at some point during 18 to 22, you are going to add some extra weight because it's just becoming a woman. And, you know, I mean, they hate hearing that, but it's just part of the process. And we can't lose joy over 5 pounds. We need to just let it go.
So, there are a lot of young women ready to go now. Yep. What's the greatest apprehension that a high school senior about to go on the college campus, what is she most afraid of, do you think?
I think not finding their friends, not finding their people. A lot of students have been told by their parents, you know, their parents' best friends probably came from college. Not always, but often folks that we hang on to for a lifetime, we met in college. And that fear of, I'm losing all the best friends I have from high school. I'm going to a place that maybe I know a few people, but am I going to find my people? Am I going to find those best friendships? And how do I cultivate them?
I did not have that fear, but I had that reality.
Yeah.
My first semester at college was the loneliest 5 months of my life.
Yeah.
And this was back in the day when if you wanted to call your friends in another state, you waited till after 11 at night because you were paying long distance charges.
Uh-huh.
And I was probably ringing up $200-$300 worth of long distance every month calling my friends from high school who had been my great friends. I was on college campus. Here's the deal. I went from being kind of a big deal in high school.
Sure.
President of the senior class. People knew me. I get to college campus. I'm walking around and it's like, hey, guys, don't you know who I am?
One of 15,000.
I was kind of a big deal. Why aren't people high-fiving me as I walk around here? And I just found myself incredibly lonely. So what I tried to do was recapture past glory, talk to my old friends. Hey, you remember this? You still think I'm great, right?
Right.
That's what I was hungry for and was reaching out for. And I just remember it was an incredibly lonely season, in part because I was hanging on to the past, and in part because I didn't know how to break into the new group. How do you make new friends? Because in high school, you made new friends in part in your classes or in the extracurricular activities. In college, that's not how you make friends with the people you're sitting by in class, and there aren't a whole lot of extracurricular activities that are healthy to go to, right?
Right.
So somebody's headed off to college. What's your coaching tip for them on how they begin to establish a friendship network in a place they've never been to before?
I talk a lot in my book about the art of pursuing people. And where that first has to start is you knowing what kind of friends do you even want?
That's right.
You need to know who you're looking for, what values you want them to hold, what characteristics you want them to be exhibiting. It starts there, and then it's you being that friend, you being the friend that you want out of someone else. And pursuing people means asking them out to coffee, asking them to lunch. If you work out every week, ask people to go work out with you. If you walk around campus, whatever, the activities that you enjoy doing, grab some other people to go with you, play together is what I talk about in the book, and start pursuing people. And know that most people are not good at this. Most people are not going to pursue you. And so to not take it personally. If you have asked some girl to grab coffee with you three times and y'all hit it off and she's never reciprocated, believe the best in her. Mm. Believe that she's just not good at pursuing people, and continue to pursue. But eventually, you will start finding those friends that reciprocate and that are investing in you as much as you're investing in them. But it takes time. Yeah. And that's, I think, the other piece that's really hard for college students to wrap their minds around. Like you said, you had friends from high school that had known you for years.
Right.
And you have all these memories. You also have the context of your family growing up. So like my high school best friends all knew my mom and my dad and my siblings. And there's so much more context to friendships growing up. And then you get to college and you expect to find your best friends in a snap. Well, how long did it take for you to cultivate those high school best friendships? Probably a long time. So to think that you're going to find your best friends first semester of freshman year and everything's going to be hunky-dory until the end, it's just not realistic.
I had two fears in terms of pursuing relationships. Fear number one, I will say, hey, do you want to do something? And I'll get snubbed or I'll get rejected and I'm not going to like that. Fear number two was somebody will say, yeah, I want to do that, and I'll find out they're really not who I want to hang out with after all, right? So it's like if they say no, I could be in trouble. If they say yes, I could be in trouble. It's just safer to go back to my dorm room and put on a record and surf the web.
Right.
We didn't have the web to surf back then.
And be lonely.
That's right, and be lonely. So it's easy to see how freshmen can kind of isolate because these are real challenges. Here was an interesting thing. As my kids went off to college, I watched this happen with them. During freshman orientation, which a lot of colleges have, they force you into some social groups. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. They're trying to get you to find some folks. And my kids would report back, yeah, I met somebody. They seem nice. So the reality is most of those people that you met and they seem nice, they were really bridge friends to get you through the gap.
Exactly.
They didn't wind up being your closest friends, but yet they served their purpose to get you past the loneliness. The best friends they made were the people who had shared common values. Mm-hmm. They were the friends they met at Crew or at RUF or wherever it was they were going, campus ministry stuff. Friends they met doing things that mattered most to them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's a better place to make friends than at the party scene, which is you really all you make there is superficial relationships.
Right.
And you go home lonelier than you started off the evening.
Right.
Exactly. And I'm now going back to a time when I got a phone call from a family who said, our son's at the University of Arkansas, and we know your daughter goes there. And he's kind of headed off in the wrong direction. Is there a chance that Laura could just make a contact?
Go rescue him?
Well, not rescue him, but introduce him to some different friends. Now, I know I'm getting over on the guy's side, but the principle is the same here.
Sure.
And this is what I wanted you to comment on, Hannah. What do you think of parents who call ahead to a group like Crew,
mm-hmm.
Navigators,
mm-hmm.
RUF, and give them the name of your daughter and what dorm she's in and say, would you guys mind going by and striking up a friendship with her, maybe inviting her to some of the group meetings that are taking place? What do you think about that?
That has happened to me more times than I can count. Your example that you're giving is a soft example. I have had parents call me, explain their child's roommate conflict, and conference call in the parents of the other roommate.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm on a conference call with two sets of parents. There's no student involved in this conversation, hashing out what their children are supposed to do for this roommate conflict. I have had crazy, crazy conversations with parents about students that their issues are facing. 99.9% of the time, parents, I love you. I know it's coming from a good place. Don't do it. It's up to your student. You can tell your student, hey, there is a great crew on your campus. There's a great InterVarsity. There's a great RUF. In fact, this is even the name of that staff person or leader. You can even give your child that much information, but put it on them. Hey, you should attend that large group meeting, and then you should go up and introduce yourself to that staff person. Just shake their hand. I talk about that in my book. Introduce yourself to professors. Go introduce yourself to the president of your university. Who's doing that? But encourage, challenge your child to do it, but don't do it for them. It's not helping them. They need to learn to take the initiative. Again, they need to learn to pursue people. They have to make their own way, and you can't do it for them.
Here's what you can do as a parent. Instead of calling Dennis and saying, can you get your daughter to do this? Or calling Hannah and saying, will you make all of this happen? You call Jesus. As parents, you hit your knees and you pray and cry out and say, God, you can do what I can't do.
Yep.
You can arrange what I can't arrange. You know who my child's going to meet today. Would you put people in their path? Would you do this? And just keep crying out to the Lord, because God can do stuff that the arranged situation between somebody's daughter and your son, that could backfire. God knows what he's doing a whole lot better, right?
Yeah.
Right. And I would say, I want to touch base with you in about 18 years with
Isaac.
I
know.
See if she's calling to arrange something here.
She'll know too much by then. I have to say, in this particular case, the illustration I used, Laura did go befriend the young man, not in a romantic,
sure,
but just in friendship, and got him to go to one of the crew events.
Yeah.
And I just went back to the 50th anniversary of Campus Crusade for Christ, now crew, at the University of Arkansas. Hmm. And I got to tell you, the friends that I'd made in college were there.
Wow.
Around crew and a great church, University Baptist Church, led by H.D. McCarty. Those friendships do endure. You're on to a very important thing here. Your daughter, and yes, your son, need to be really equipped to know how to select the right group of friends as they go away to college, because who they hang out with will be who they become.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say, too, and you talk about this in the book, in spite of the best eHarmony-like intentions of universities to match up your daughter with a like-minded roommate,
right,
it doesn't always work that way.
Most times not.
In fact, one of your chapters is, I'd like to kill my roommate, but I don't know where to bury the body.
Yeah.
What should I do? And you tell the story about somebody who was roomies with a pot-smoking, free-loving, non-shaving kind of girl who, I mean, they couldn't have been more different.
It was my roommate.
Well, let's talk, sister. So what did you do?
It was hard for 18-year-old Hannah to figure out how to live with someone that was, I mean, could not be more opposite and sometimes offensive. I mean, the way in which we were opposite rubbed against me the wrong way. There are things I can't even say on the radio of what went down with that roommate and things that she brought into our room. So what I will say is I learned to, A, choose my battles. I knew that her eating my food so much smaller than some of the bigger problems we were having in our room. I learned how to decide what the one message was that I needed to communicate with her that week. I couldn't come with a laundry list of 100 things that she was doing that was driving me crazy. And I learned how to communicate in kindness, because I will say the one thing I think I did well as an 18-year-old, I remembered that I was an ambassador of Christ and that she did not know Jesus. And I knew that as much as she drove me crazy, it mattered more that I reflected Christ well to her than anything else. I didn't have to be a doormat. I didn't have to, you know, just sweep everything under the rug and let her do whatever she wanted. But I did have to tread lightly, because she knew I was a believer. And I cared more about that testimony. I wanted her to remember that about me when we ended our 9 months of living together, over than, you know, Hannah was always nagging me about XYZ.
And what if it's a big issue, Hannah? Like your roommate is locking you out of the room because she's having sex with her boyfriend in the room.
Yeah, I talk about that in my book.
You do?
I do. And I say, I think that is the hardest roommate conflict, because your roommate knows that she's inconveniencing you. This isn't just like a, I don't realize my habit is annoying you. This is, I know my behavior is locking you out of your bedroom. But I still think, I always call them back to, we've got to talk to our roommate. Half of the time, more than half of the time, college students don't want to even confront their roommate. They haven't been trained to communicate in conflict. So to say, you've got to talk to her about it. And I've walked through the steps of how they can do that. But in that chapter, I really talk about the bigger picture of, I know this sounds crazy, but what if Jesus was in college today and he had the same roommate conflict? What would he do? And if your roommate isn't a believer, she doesn't abide by the same biblical principles that you and I abide by. There's right. no reason for her not to be having sex.
Right.
So we need to let go of being upset by her sin, because first she needs to know Jesus to have a heart modification before she can have a behavior modification. So we're not going to go there. We're going to care about her heart. And again, just like my similar roommate scenario, how do you stick up for yourself, communicate with your roommate, but know that you are representing Jesus to her? And I am positive Jesus cares way more about her heart and what's going on with her if she's having sex every single weekend. A lot of times that story is it's a different guy,
yeah.
right? We're so caught up in the party scene and drinking and drugs. We're bringing different people home with us all the time. What does that look like for you as a roommate to care more about her heart and to try to walk with her and love on her and care for her than just to be all up in arms about you getting locked out? Now, you need a place to sleep at night. So I'm not advocating for, you know, just get over it and only be concerned about her. But what might that look like? And what might God do in that relationship and in her heart if you approach it from that angle?
That's really great advice. And that's the high road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
it's real easy to be judgmental in that situation.
Yep.
And for parents to drive up to the school and say, I'm going to fix this.
Yep.
We're going to get this straight.
Yep.
But it's where your child needs to begin to own her faith
mm-hmm.
and know that her faith is more than her morals. It's also her love
mm-hmm.
and the compassion she shows for someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ.
Okay, so here's a quick question. Should a mom or a dad send their 18-year-old daughter a link to these programs online and say, sweetheart, you should listen to Family Life Today?
Totally. Again, I think that's the line of arming you've got resources. You've heard things. There's books out there. You know, I would love for parents to buy my book and give it to their student.
But you know that the student's going to go, give me a break.
They might, but they might also listen. I listened. If my parents, not all the time, let's say half the time.
We could call your dad.
50% of the time,
I think. We could call him right now.
I think that's good. One out of every two. But I mean, truly, sometimes I would read what they sent me or listen to what they sent me, and you just never know. But yeah, I would say never shy away from sending your child things that you want them to read or think about. They may or they may not.
Okay, well, we have the link on our website at familylifetoday.com.
And I would not be above bribery here.
Yeah. What?
Well, college kids
I'll pay
are
you
starving.
$20
they're starving
if you
to
listen
death
to this?
Because they've partied all their money away. So I'd say, I'll give you $20 if you listen to Hannah Seymour for the next 24 minutes. Listen to it beginning to end. $20 will be in the mail. If you listen to the whole series, $100.
Wow.
There you go.
You're going big. What
that's a good hourly rate.
What if they read the book?
I might throw that in with the series and make them
read that the book. And I want a highlighted copy when you come home for Christmas.
There
you
go.
We do have copies of the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. The book is called The College Girl's Survival Guide, Faith-Filled Answers to Your Biggest Concerns. And we'll send you a copy when you order from us online at familylifetoday.com or call to order 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Order your copy of The College Girl's Survival Guide by Hannah Seymour. One other thing we'd encourage you to do as your children head off to college this fall, or maybe you've got children or grandchildren headed to elementary or middle school, high school. As your kids are going back to school, wherever they're going, or your grandchildren, you need to be praying for them. We put together a 30-day Parents Prayer Challenge. It's a back-to-school prayer challenge. Every day we will send you emails for 30 days, and these emails are designed to prompt you every day with suggestions, ideas of things you can be praying for your children as they get ready to head back to school or as they begin their first days of school. This is free to sign up for. You can do it online at familylifetoday.com. It's a part of our commitment to help effectively develop godly marriages and families. We're trying to provide you with practical biblical help and hope for your marriage and your family, things like our new Art of Parenting video series, the Art of Parenting online course that's available for free. At Family Life, we want to do all we can to extend the reach of this ministry to reach more people with more help every day. And thanks to those of you who partner with us in this. Every time you make a donation, you are really giving so that other listeners can not only enjoy this program, but they can take part in the prayer challenge, or they can use the Art of Parenting online series. Your donations are helping your fellow listeners grow in their understanding of what God's Word has to say about marriage and family. If you'd like to help with the donation today, we would love to hear from you. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call to donate. 1-800-FL-TODAY is our number. You can also mail your donation to us. Our address is Family Life Today at Box 7111. Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. And by the way, we have a thank you gift we'd love to send you if you can help with a donation today. It's a copy of Dennis Rainey's newest book, which is called Choosing a Life That Matters, and it's our way of expressing our thanks for your partnership with us in this ministry. Tomorrow, we will be back to talk more about sending our daughters off to college, and particularly about the issue of them continuing to have a faith walk as they go off to school. Why are so many kids abandoning their faith? And is there anything we can do about that as parents? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Hope you can be with us. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.